Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. All right, let me just get comfy here. Get a bit closer to you. Let me see you. You're looking good. Looking sun-kissed. Looking like you've been at the beach, many of you. That's where I've been hanging out a lot, and it has been awesome. Who has enjoyed the beach? Who's managed to keep out of the wind at the beach? No, you've been blown away. Some of you have been blown away by the wind. But the surf's been good. Speared a kingfish the other day. So the food's been good. And it's just so good to be alive in New Zealand in summer. And just loving Northland. I like living here. God bless you, our Auckland visitors. I met some of you from like Central, and welcome to you guys. I'm hoping that you're enjoying our Northland. Are you enjoying it? Great, great. We like it too. Anyone else like it? Yes. Well, 2020, here we come. 2020, here we come. All right? Come on. 2020. Yeehaw! Strap your seatbelt in. Yahoo! Again, thank you for coming. Just an honor to gather together in the presence of the Lord Jesus and worship Him with other people. And there's something about when the people of God come together and we worship, and that the anointing is just synergized, and one puts 1,000, two, 10,000. There's something of an atmosphere of family worship and the presence of the Lord that I just so love. And we could not do that without you. So thank you. Thank you. Hey, cool testimony I just heard in the prayer meeting from our amazing Jill, one of our youngest evangelists in the house. And Jill, can you just come up and just share this awesome story? Because these guys here on the front row, thanks for being front rowers, you guys. I love that. Like, by the way, there's no reserve signs on these seats. And if we ever see a reserve sign, I'll take it off, because I hate that word reserved. Because I believe that we need to be absolutely not reserved for Jesus. Maybe I'm okay with the word saved to be used every now and again, but not reserved. And so front-running seat sitters, there is no rules that you can't sit in the front row. And these guys just, you guys are just seeing a massive harvest, right?
Harvest time.
Awesome things are going down right now. Homes are becoming too small to fit all the people in, I'm hearing.
Homes are becoming too small, man.
Homes are becoming too small for the fish to fill. And that's happening right now as we speak. So these are some of our young evangelists. And we have Jill here. You're not old. She's not old. She's simply more mature. She is more mature. Can you share that awesome story you shared with me before?
Okay. I went to my daughter's in Pyra Bay for Christmas Day breakfast. And I knew I had to be in Auckland for lunch. And as I came along Port Road, I turned left, and just round the corner, opposite the Gulf Station, there's a young Maori guy hitching. So I stopped, and his mate jumped out. I said, "You're not going to rob me, are you?" They said, oh, no, 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 we just want to ride to Oakley." So I said, "Okay, jump in." So as soon as he jumped in, he starts telling me he's been reading the Bible. Right from Genesis, the Old Testament, he starts about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and telling me all about the Old Testament. And the other guy in the back, he says, "And I've just got this Vision Bible app." He says, "And I've got this verse from John." So he starts reading from John. I said, "But do you know Jesus?" "No," they said. He said, "I haven't read the New Testament yet." So I said, "Well, how about doing it now?" "Yes, yes, okay." So I'm driving along. I said, "Just repeat after me." They both gave their hearts to the Lord. I've got the phone, his phone number, and I'm sending him a scripture every day. All to the glory of God.
Yes. Amen. All to the glory of the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to have someone lead you to the Lord who's an intercessor. Because she's going to be praying for you every day and you're not going to be able to escape. And you don't want to escape anyway. So praise God. Awesome. Thanks, Elise, for hosting. You know, to be honest with you, just Diana was meant to be hosting today, but we totally forgot because we're still on holiday. I'm on holiday right now. I'm relaxing on holiday right here, right now. And, oh yeah, I'll show you my holiday haircut. Thanks, Liz. Thank you, Liz. I am on holiday and I have got a holiday haircut because I've been surfing, I've been diving, and I like to get a little wild, you know, like the way I rest is not like reading a book, sitting around, doing nothing. And if you rest like that, that's great. My wife does that and I've learned to accept that. I've accepted it. But for me, like if my adrenaline gland is not secreting, I am not resting. If there's no adventure, if there's no risk, I am not having a restful time. I am cabin fever. And so I get a little rugged, you know. And so I figured, you know what? I'm not going to waste my holiday time on getting a haircut. This holiday time is too precious to me. And so I'm just going to I was also looking in the mirror thinking, man, I look too much like my dad. And I love my dad. He's a handsome man, but he's like 30 years older than me. And I'm like, I'm looking old. I need to shave my sides. So I'll just shave my sides. So I did that and I was trying to blend it up. And then I just sort of looked at it. And before I started shaving, I said, hey, Diane, I'm thinking of just shaving my head. She's just like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm like, that means I got to go get a haircut. This is holiday. That's a waste of my time. I could be surfing, diving, praying, hanging out with my family. No way I'm just going to do it. So I totally disobeyed the advice of my wife. That is a problem. That is a problem. And anyway, so I shaved my hair, just the sides, tried to blend it in, but I looked like a mushroom. I looked like I was wearing like a German helmet. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I thought I'd just try to fade it a little bit more. And then it just was crooked and looked ridiculous. And so in the end, I'm like, oh, well. Number zero, here we go. So it's my holiday here. I was thinking in the worship, I was like, I'm going to have to show you guys why I'm wearing a hat. I can just say it's a monastic vow. I'm making a monastic vow to seek the Lord, fasting, but I'd be totally lying to you, and I don't recommend that as a preacher. So Might do that a little later.
You won't be getting confused with that anymore, bro.
Yeah, I totally sunblock my whole head. So lesson 101 from my summer holidays is listen to your wife, husbands. Because this is not good. I'm not happy but with this. Forgive me for wearing a hat in church, but anyway, it's all good. But we've been having fun times, been going diving, went on a dive trip with Hemi and with Dan the other day, 2 days. Come on, Dan, in the back there. And I just want to quickly share a quick story about that dive trip that we had. We got lots of fish. We launched off Oahu. And who loves Oahu? Isn't that an awesome bay? And we launched off there and we were spearfishing. And there'd been a lot of swell lately. So it was my first spearfish for a little while because I've been surfing so much on my holiday. But that swell had messed up the ocean so that the visibility was only like from me to the pulpit away. Like that's how far you could see. So it was dark and horrible down there. But we still got lots of fish, right? Come on, man. Claim it.
you know you got some fish. And we got some crayfish. Actually, I got crayfish. You guys did not get crayfish. I got crayfish. But on the way that we were driving there in Dan's ute with my boat, we were using his car to transport my boat. And Dan's like, I don't like the look of that wheel, Andy. Look in the mirror, look at that wheel. And the left wheel was just going, as soon as you hit 80K, like the wheel would just go like this. And I'm like, Dan, it's just resonant frequency, man, with the road. Just go a bit faster. It'll stop. And he's like, there's something wrong with your bearings, Andy. I'm like, no, there is not. Because I got a warrant of fitness and the warrant of fitness officer said there's nothing wrong with my bearings. But because I am a sensible human, we will pull over halfway to Oakura and we'll just feel the temperature on that wheel bearing. And so we did it and look, it was cool. And I'm like, told you so, Dan. Problem is, Dan's a smart man. And anyway, we got our fish, we loaded it up, we went diving, we got the fish. Corey, you're looking at me with a scowl, man. Is that because I didn't invite you? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Next time. And we had more fish, we had more weight on the boat. On the way back, about 5 minutes from Tikipunga, where Himi is, just bang, this explosion takes place. And the whole tire on the left-hand side just explodes. And we hear this scraping sound, like a train, like going down a train. And we've lost that tire. And so we're like, well, what do we do? And we're on a hill, we're on Vinegar Hill. And they call it Vinegar Hill Road because it's a hill. And there's nowhere to park the boat. So we're just like, going down the road like the sound of a locomotion choo-choo train with our hazard lights on at about 20 kilometers an hour, grinding down the road. And we finally, after sparks are flying and rubber's just going everywhere, we pull over and we start trying to figure out, well, how do we solve this? I have no spear. No one has a spear on their trailer. And we didn't know what to do. And then fortunately, you know, our problem was solved because there was a man living in a house on Vinegar Hill who was about to pour, I don't know what number it was of bourbons. He's about to pour another bourbon, but his wife said, what on earth is that thing coming down the road to her husband? And so this jovial man comes out with spanner and tools and all sorts of stuff. It's Merry Christmas. We're like, Merry Christmas. And we got on the phone to Putty and we figured out that your spare tire in your car would fit my trailer tire, except for it was like an 18-inch rimmed out thing. And one side of my trailer was like pimped out, lowered, big. The other side, not so good. And but the problem was it didn't fully fit. Now, I haven't told you the rest of the story. And so we, with the help of Tony, this half-intoxicated dude just running to get us tools, saying Merry Christmas, swearing like you wouldn't believe, we actually managed to take off the tire. And with his socket set, put on, we're using all sorts of ingenuity to get it, like putting rocks in the socket and all sorts of stuff to do it. And we got that tire on. And I said to Tony, man, at the end of it, I said, man, you are the weirdest and craziest looking angel I have ever met in my life. And he says, Merry, beep, 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 Christmas. Great, it's Christmas. And so we got on the other tire, the spare tire, and we're driving home. We drop off Himi and we figure, well, you know what? It's got us here. Didn't quite fit on properly, that tire, but surely it'll get us to Unerahi, where I live now. And we were less than 2 minutes from Unerahi. Hello, Dan. He was driving and all of a sudden we hear this almighty bang and this huge scraping sound again. I haven't told you this, right? Because you were in Dargaville. It's the only reason. Not trying to hide anything. And then we pull over because the wheel is completely disappeared. We don't even know where it is. Like, it's just gone. It's totally gone. I'm looking for it. It's just gone. No sign of it. There's no raptured, like just invisibly just disappeared. And I'm like, oh no. And then this guy stops in a ute behind us. He's like, oh my goodness. I watched this wheel come off your trailer and it hit the curb, man. And it bounced at, like, I don't know how many kilometers an hour up in the air. And it just went flying up in the air and was just bouncing. And it could be anywhere, man, anywhere. It could be in that neighbor's house. It could be down that massive bank. And so we looked around the properties. And then we looked down this bank and Dan's like, up near the boat, like, it's gone, Andy. But I have hope, you know. And I'm also seeing dollar signs thinking, I'm going to buy them a spare tire. No. And it was about nearly dark. And so I'm looking down this bank, looking for all this gorse and cutty grass, trying to find this tire. And I give up after 20 minutes. I'm like, I give up. Done. Let's buy another tire. It's going to be all good. And we'll come and problem solve this next problem of how I get my boat home to my house. And anyway, as I'm walking up the hill, the neighbors walk down. They just arrived home and they said, we just arrived home from having pizza at the beach. We drop up into our driveway and we see a tire beside our parked car. Could it be yours? It's like, could it be ours? Like, can't you see there's no, could it be ours? It is ours. Big dent on this new car. Anyway, good times gone bad. Good times gone bad. But it's an adventure. And anyway, in the end, we decided, in our wisdom, we found that tire, but we couldn't put it on anymore because we lost all of the nuts. All the nuts had just totally gone. So we put two nuts on that old, Dave, don't laugh at me, man. That old broken tire, we put it back on again and three nuts on the other tire and just with the hazards on at 10 kilometers an hour of Mark Sudbury following us, we just went home like at 10 o'clock at night and or 9:30 at night or whatever it was. And we pull over halfway to just see if it's all right and Mark jumps out of the car behind us. He's like, oh my goodness, man. I had to wind up my windows. It's so noisy. It's like a huge locomotive going down the road, coming through Unerahi. I'm so surprised lights aren't coming on in homes. But we got it home. We succeeded and we had an adventure. And it was fun and we'll never forget it. And that kind of stuff happens. For some reason, that kind of stuff happens quite often for me. And I love it. I don't know. I love it. I'm gonna come back to that because I shared that for a laugh, but I also shared it because it's a sermon illustration. Diana, recently, I spent a lot of time praying for prophetic dreams because the Lord speaks to me really clearly in prophetic dreams, and I love hearing the voice of the Lord in dreams that He gives to me. And those dreams are just so, I love prophetic dreams because it's like just, there it is. That's what it is. It's happening to you. There's no need for interpretation. There's no skewing from your own interpretation or anything like that. It's just that this is what actually happened. And I think I pray for prophetic dreams more than Diana prays for prophetic dreams. And I do get some myself, but often He gives them to her in response to my prayer. I perhaps should be a little bit more specific. Give them specifically to me, Lord. Although He does want me to listen to my wife. And And there's something about humility that when you're praying for something and your partner or your friend is the one that receives it, and that the Lord is actually answering your prayer through that person, and it takes humility in your heart to actually receive it. And that's something that the Lord is building into us, humility of heart to receive the answers to our prayers when He gives them to the other people around us and not straight to us. And anyway, this dream that Dinah had recently, I think, is something key for us as a church. And in the church, we're at this massive warehouse. And it was huge. It was the biggest warehouse you'd ever been in. And it was actually just a memorial service, It was an honoring service, just honoring Bill Johnson. And Bill was just standing humbly at the back of the dream of the warehouse, and people were just honoring his contribution of what he's brought to the planet. And then we were doing, and Dinah says, I couldn't make out if it was a cheers or if it was communion in honor of Bill. And that's when Bill stepped forward and he said, hey, we need some good wine for that. And right next to the warehouse, there was the cellar, and Bill went into a cellar and got this precious, expensive red wine for us to take communion with together, this massive crowd together. And we were sitting towards the back. I was in the dream. We were sitting towards the back of this warehouse. And Dinah distinctly remembers that when Bill went to get the wine, it was red wine. But by the time it came to us and we were served by the ushers this wine for communion and to honor what God was doing, it was no longer red, it was white wine. And she looked at the label and she began to examine the label on the wine. And the label read, Aro Aro. Now, Aro Aro is te reo Māori for the presence of the Lord. It is, but the word brings us into a richer understanding of the Lord's presence, because aro means before the face of or in the presence of. And so aro, aro speaks of face to face. And so in that word itself, the presence of the Lord is connected deeply to face to face. That the greatest pathway for us and for you sitting in your chair right here to enter into the presence of the Lord is a longing and the outworking of a desire of your heart to be face to face in the presence of the Lord. And so this dream, and she woke up from the dream. She remembered that. Oh, the other thing about the dream was the label had all these Kiwi, all these New Zealand symbols, like the Kiwi bird and the pavlova and all that. It was distinctly Kiwi. And so the lesson that the Spirit was speaking to us in the dream is that everything, all of the honor that was going to Bill Johnson and all the movement and what the Lord has been doing in this movement that's coming through the earth is centered on and founded on communion, that is intimacy, face to face, the presence of the Lord. And each of us in this room has a privilege, a joy, also a responsibility to steward the presence of the Lord in our own lives. And that is the essence of where we're heading and what we're going after. And David, in 1 Chronicles 13, I'll read a passage of scripture. I won't read this one. I'll read from the book of Matthew. But in 1 Chronicles 13, David, one of my greatest heroes, was a person known for the presence of the Lord. As a young man, he would spend hours before the Lord in worship. when he was in the hills alone with God, tending his father's sheep, and the presence of the Lord would respond. And he learned that as I open up my heart before the Lord, he responds to me with himself. And that revelation, God, I believe, decided, wow, he's got it. He's got that when we open up our hearts to, when humans open up their hearts to God in worship and in adoration and in praise, he responds with himself. That one man has got that revelation in the midst of a generation of people that think they need to go through all sorts of religious hoops to access the presence of the Lord. One man understands that as he draws near to God, he'll draw near unto him. As we worship, he responds. So I will take that one man with that revelation and I will exalt him into a leadership space so that that one man's one revelation can become a revelation that begins to flood a nation. Because I don't want that just for one man. I want that for a nation and nations. And that would include Aotearoa New Zealand. The Lord wants this nation to be so aware of the very presence of the Lord. And as I'm speaking about it, even on my holiday, I can feel the presence of the Lord in the room. And just even as hearts are opening up to the presence right now in this meeting, the very presence of the Lord is here. And in fact, I believe, sorry, sidetracked by the word of knowledge, but there's someone near me with a kidney or some kind of conditions in their body, in their blood, and the Lord is just bringing healing into your body right now in Jesus' name. Sorry, little message from my sponsor. The Lord. So David sought intimacy with the Lord and he sought to create a culture for the whole nation to experience it. David did not hoard this wonder of presence to himself, but much like the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before creation, as they experienced the joy of loving one another and being loved by one another, they also did not want to hoard that to themselves, but rather to open up that and create humanity so that we could enter into it too. And David was like that. He didn't want to just have bliss on his own in the intimate secret place with the Lord. He loved it so much, he wanted to invite others into the same reality. I love the presence of the Lord so much, I want to invite all of you into that same reality and so much more. So much more. The presence of the Lord will change you. The presence of the Lord will fill you. The presence of the Lord will bring the realities of heaven and God into your world. It'll bless your family. It'll cause any devil that tries to rise up and rob you of destiny to bow its knee before you and the destiny that you have by the very presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord will change you. So David grew up in the intimacy, grew up in the presence of the Lord, but in 1 Chronicles 13, as you've heard me share before, he sought to bring the ark of the presence, the ark of God, where God would dwell, from the borders of the nation into the very centrality geographically and in the consciousness of the nation. So he's bringing the presence of the Lord into center stage. But there was disaster in that mission. And the disaster was outside Obed-Edom's house when Uzzah reaches out his hand, touches the ark, and he struck dead. And then the scriptures say this in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, 13 and verse 12. By the way, I highly recommend you read 1 Chronicles 13. There's so much revelation for us as a community in that passage of Scripture. It's huge for us right now. It's very highlighted to me. But after Uzzah is struck dead, as he reaches out to steady the ark because of the stumbling ox, it says, and David was afraid of God that day. And he began to ask and pray, God, how do we bring your presence? How do we bring the ark of God home to us? So David enters into the fear of the Lord. So David had intimacy with God. He knew the Lord, but he had not yet stepped into the fullness of the fear of the Lord. And it wasn't until he stepped into the fear of the Lord alongside his intimacy with the Lord that he was able to enter into more of a full expression of who he was and make a difference in the nation. And I propose to us that we're in a season where the Lord is highlighting intimacy with him, and he is also bringing us into the fear of the Lord as well. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord builds. The fear of the Lord is obedience unto the Lord. It's a reverence unto the Lord. It's a fear, a healthy fear of the Lord, because he is Lord. We have been talking about intimacy with the Lord, and we've been emphasizing intimacy with the Lord. Intimacy with the Lord. My proposal to you is this season that we're entering into, the emphasis is intimacy with the Lord. Like, not intimacy with just buddy, buddy Jesus. Not intimacy with a mere human. What I'm talking about is intimacy with the sovereign master. Intimacy with the king that is above every other king. Intimacy with the great creator, the almighty one, the Lord of all lords. Intimacy with the great God, Yahweh, our God, the creator, the supreme preeminent master. Intimacy with him. Intimacy with the Lord. And so intimacy with the Lord looks a little bit different than intimacy with my friend, another human. And it wasn't until David began to discover that he stepped into the fullness that God had for him. And I believe for us, as we step into this, we're going to enter more into the fullness of what God has for us. So, our vision is on earth as it is in heaven. Our core value is presence. And presence is discovered in intimacy. When you spend time with him, the anointed one, that anointing rubs off on you. And you begin to carry and host the presence of God. We're all called for that, and no one is disqualified. That's why I love it. We get an intercessor to host. She prays for every team. But as we hang out and spend time with the anointed one, his anointing comes upon us. And I'd rather have his anointing than my own anointing. I'd rather walk into the room and have his presence lighted up than my own charisma or people's skill sets lighted up. And that just comes from spending time with him. So our vision is on earth as it is in heaven. We find that in the Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters of the book of Matthew are dedicated to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. Epic reading. for what the kingdom is like and how the kingdom works. Three whole chapters, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, who is the one who understands the fullness of reality and truth, is mapping out and showing us, hey, this is what the kingdom is like. And that's where we find the prayer. One of our key scriptures in this church is, our Father who is in the heavens, hallowed be your name, your on as it is on earth as it is in heaven. The Father's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven coming, not just staying in that space of the heavens, but entering into the earth. And that each of us in this room has a part to play in that. And that part of your prayer needs to be discovering, what is my part to play in this grand scheme, Lord, to bring heaven to earth? Lord, I got a part to play in this. Lord, I'm not just a spectator. I'm a participator in this grand dream, God, to bring heaven to earth, to bring your kingdom, the Father's will, the Father's dreams, the Father's purpose, the Father's heart and desires to the earth. That's not something I just watch and see. That's something I participate in. God, show me what is my jigsaw puzzle piece in this massive puzzle. Show me what it is, God. Each of you has massive purpose, massive destiny. Pray to just let the Lord show you what your piece in this puzzle is. And you will live an incredibly fulfilled life, where you'll wake up every morning burning away, not burning away, burning with passion. God, thank you that you gave me a part to play in the grand scheme of the Creator. Yes. Come on. Each of you has a part to play in this. No one misses out. And in it, In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is often referring to the Father. He uses all sorts of different ways to describe the Father. But you'll find this phrase, Father who is in the heavens. Father who is in the heavens. Sometimes he'll start it. Most often he starts it with your Father who is in the heavens. Your Father who is in the heavens. He says, my Father who is in the heavens. And then in the Lord's Prayer, he says, our Father who is in the heavens. And then in Matthew chapter, 5, verse 34, he gives us a little bit more of a picture of what he means by the heavens. In Matthew 5, 34, he's saying, hey, don't swear an oath. Don't swear an oath by heaven. Don't swear an oath by Jerusalem. He says, don't swear an oath by, let me read it. But I say to you, make no oath at all. Remember this, he's saying, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Be integrous with your words, and you don't need to bind yourself to some kind of an oath. Just if you say you're going to do it, just do it. If you say you're not going to do it, just don't do it. Be integrous, represent the kingdom well. That's what he's trying to say. He says, but he shows us something of heaven. Now, we're wanting to bring heaven to earth, so we're wanting to discover what is heaven? What does it look like? What does it feel like, taste like, experience? What is New Zealand going to look like when heaven fills it? Matthew 5:34, Jesus himself, the architect, the one who knows what it's like in heaven, says, I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. He says, heaven is the throne of God. Heaven is the throne of God. A throne speaks of a seat of authority. It is the dominion of the Lord. It is that he is the king on a throne, ruling, but also speaks of where he's sitting, where he's abiding, where he's living. The Father lives in heaven. He dwells there. Now remember in 1 Chronicles 13, David is bringing the ark back to Mount Zion, and he's going to put it in like a temple, but it's a tabernacle. It's a big tent. And the ark is a symbol of, and more than a symbol, it's a symbol figuratively and literally. So, I don't know, literal symbol. It's a symbol figure. It is both a figurative expression, but also an actual reality. That's what I'm trying to say. That the ark of God is a symbol of and the reality of the throne of God. And so David is seeking to bring the throne of God into the centrality onto Mount Zion. Just follow me here. I'm getting a little complicated. I'm trying to be super simple. Being super simple. So on Mount Zion, you have the throne of God in the tabernacle of God. But David also builds his palace right there on Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is not a massive mountain. Mount Zion is more like a hill. It's about 700 meters high. It's just a medium-sized hill. Right beside the throne of the temple is the king's palace, which also has a throne. Side by side, you have two thrones on one mountain. You have, are you following me? Side by side. Now, how the kingdom was meant to work in David's day is that throne of the palace that was right next to the throne in the tabernacle, that David was to hear from the throne of the tabernacle and take that with him to the throne of the palace and outwork that into the nation. You with me? This is an epic symbol for you and I in this room. How many know the scriptures say that we're seated now? Ephesians 2:6, seated in the heavenlies in Christ. All through the book of Revelation, we're at the right hand, we're hidden in Christ at the right hand of God. There's two thrones. That symbol of the throne in the temple or the tabernacle, the throne of God, in partnership with the throne in the palace of the king. Now, how many know you and I in this room are in a kingdom? We have royalty. We have access to that priestly, that God's throne. And from that access and from what we hear, I hope I'm making sense, guys. I'm on holiday, you know. From what we hear in that throne, we outwork it from our own seats of authority as a kingdom of priests. And if we lose contact with that throne in the temple, so to speak, I'm speaking metaphor, then how many know leading out from our own thrones of our own lives is going to end up in disaster? And we saw when the king would lean in from his palace, from his throne, and hold in higher esteem the throne of God in the temple than his own throne in his own palace, everything seemed to work out really well for Israel. But when the king forgot about that and just thought, oh, I'm on my own throne, I get to do what I want to do, I get to just, you know, I've got dominion. I don't have to worry about hearing from that throne right next to me, the throne of God. Disaster. And how many know that to enter from that throne, the throne of your own life, into his throne, to enter into a throne room, you don't just sort of skip on into a throne room in your dirty sweatpants and your jandals. Hello? But there's throne room etiquette. There's a reverence for the king of any nation. You go into any nation's throne room where the king is, you're not just going in there in your board shorts with a bit of sand on your feet. There is a fear, a reverence. And I propose to ask this morning, that we're entering into a season of intimacy with the Lord. The fear of the Lord. To enter into fullness. And our intimacy will be marked by a greater sense of reality. Because truly He is the Lord. We must always remember that we are the little shots. Like those two thrones, the throne of the king of Israel, the throne of David, in partnership with the throne of God, they worked in partnership together. But the problem is we must never forget that it's not an equal partnership. And it's certainly not I'm the big shot and He's the little shot. He's the big shot. We're the little shots. Yet He is still extending to us the invitation into partnership with Him to bring heaven to earth by partnering with the throne of God, the presence of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. And so, I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm done. Matthew chapter 7, let me read it to you. Verse 21 and 23, there's three scriptures here. Matthew 7, verse 21, still in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talked about on earth as it is in heaven. He's talked about heaven as the throne of God. And then he says this, it's written in red. When it's written in red, hello, it's important. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Something about the fear of the Lord right now. Not everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord. Now, our confession of His Lordship is crucial. That we confess Jesus as Lord. But if it just stops there, not everyone who comes to Jesus and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of my Father. And then you have these faith heroes. When I was a young Christian, when I was just met Jesus and I saw these preachers and they were prophesying and they were healing the sick and they were casting out demons, they became my hero. I was like, they're my heroes. I want to be like them, but not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, were we not prophesying? Were we not casting out demons? Didn't we see many miracles? Well, are you trying to tell me, Jesus, that my heroes, some of them may not enter? Some of them may not enter. Because the Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. Not you never knew me. I never knew you, says the Lord. Well, that's so weird because I'm sure later on in scripture, he says like, I've counted the hairs on your head. I know how many hairs are on your head. Even just right in the same context, he says, don't even worry about what you need. Don't pray for what you need. Your Father knows everything that you need. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. What do you mean you never knew me, Lord? You know everything about me. You're omniscient. How can that scripture make sense? Well, intimacy is into me, you see. And how many know the Lord is so magnificently beautiful? That He is longing to have a relationship with you where you begin to walk out into me, Lord, you see, where you invite him into knowing you. Yeah, he knows all about you, but he wants to engage with your permission to let him into all of your world. Now, there's the intimacy part. But I also read, not everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, except for those that would be, in the Greek verb tense, is a present tense verb, not having done the will of the Father, but doing the will of my Father. That's how you enter in, by doing the will of my Father, not by once being on fire and then losing the fire and you once did the will of the Father, but by present tense doing the will of the Father. Now that's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. And that's entering into the kingdom. So my trailer had some more fish in it and got a little heavier. I'm prophesying we're going to have a lot more fish in us because we're in a season of harvest, and the trailer is going to be a little heavier and there's a little bit more pressure on the wheels. And if one wheel is intimacy with the Lord, the other wheel is the fear of the Lord. And when that wheel of the fear of the Lord blew up and wasn't there, we were able to transport that trailer, but only about 1 or 2 kilometers home. And it was a horrible noise, and there were sparks, and there was mess, and it stank like burning rubber, and it stinks. And I believe that some of us, myself included, we need to make sure that both tires, intimacy and the fear of the Lord, intimacy with the Lord, are both full of tread, are both new or renewed, so that we can tow what God has for us in this amazing season. So can I ask for Bonnie? Can I ask you to play the keys for me? Thank you, Bonnie. Spirit of the Lord. And then we enter into the fullness of our destiny. More, the more, the more, the more that he has for us. He is so kind. I'm not in any way trying to preach against the kindness of the Lord. He's more kind than you could ever imagine, ever dare to dream. You picture the most kindest grandma. Multiply that kindness by 1,000-fold, and you will not have touched on the kindness that is the Lord. Yet he does ask for a healthy fear, an actual fear of him. Some of us, we know if I was to go around and kick the tires of intimacy, that might check out all right. But if I was to kick the tire of the fear of the Lord in your life, your willingness to obey, honor him. Yeah, you can have a conversation when he asks you to do something, but at the end of that conversation, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are the Lord. You're the creator and the master, and you gave me breath. And I want your throne here, and there's throne etiquette. Yes, Lord. And if I was to kick on that tire, maybe that might have a little bubble in it, like what's probably in my tire. Maybe we need to get a new tire there. And that's a simple confession in your heart and a turning and saying, Lord, I ask for the fear of God in my life. Lord, we've become a little too buddy-buddy in a kind of like a human way. I want to have intimacy with the sovereign master of all things, the Almighty Yahweh. I want to have intimacy with you. So I'm going to pray. Can I invite you to stand up right now? Father, I thank you for your presence. And you are indeed here in this room. I sense your movings, God. You're doing things in our midst. Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Lord. Thank you, Father, you also are the Lord. And Holy Spirit, Paul was so clear when he wrote that the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That even in this place of submission to the Lordship of God, there is a found freedom. And we become set free as we submit. Thank you for presence in this room, Lord. Father, I ask for the spirit of the fear of the Lord to be upon our people, myself massively included, Lord. I ask for intimacy. I ask for us to be marked with intimacy and the fear of God, so that we would enter into destiny. And Father, some of us, we let go a little bit of the fear of the Lord. I'm just asking for a simple turning, simple repentance. Some of us in this room, we don't know you yet, Lord. And so, Lord, those in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord, I'm asking, Father, that the spirit of salvation would come into their hearts and that they would feel a supernatural calling home to you to say yes to Jesus Christ coming into their life. I'm going to pray for you. Those of you who do not know Jesus, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, people in this room that don't know Jesus, I ask that they would feel a calling to you right now in Jesus' name. And can I just invite everyone to close their eyes in this room? Because if there's someone here and you do not know Jesus as Lord, and He is calling your heart to come home to Him, to say yes to Him, then I want to invite you to respond to that right now. And so if that is you and you know that God is calling you to Him, I'm going to ask, while every eye is shut, just to honor your privacy, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Is there anyone here that would say, it's time for me to come home to Jesus right now? Slip up your hand and show me so I can see your hand if that is you. If Jesus is saying, come to me, come home to me, make me the Lord of your life, slip up your hand if that's you right across this room. Slip up your hand if God is calling you home. Is that your hand, sir? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. That's amazing. I'm proud of you, man. Thank you. I saw the Lord moving upon you. I saw His call towards you. Thank you, God. Is there anyone else that would say, you know what? It's time for me. I've been trying it my own way. I've been trying it. It's not working. I need a new way. Well, I'll tell you the new way. It is Jesus. Slip up your hand if you'd like to say yes to Jesus. Is there anyone else? Thank you. It's beautiful. I can see your hand. That's amazing. I'm so glad you put up your hand. And now I'm going to pray for all of us. Some of you in this room, it's time to just open up your heart to the fear of the Lord again and just say, Lord, I'm kneeling before you and recognizing you as the Lord. Let me give you a clue. If you have a hard time kneeling before the Lord, that would possibly suggest that you need to ask for the fear of the Lord to come on your life. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to call you forward right now. Those of you that, you know, three things. Intimacy, more intimacy. I'm going to pray for you for intimacy, like a spirit of intimacy, the Holy Spirit to come on you. Those of you that know you need an upgrade in the fear of the Lord, I'm going to pray for you too, for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And then those of you who've just put up your hand to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to invite you forward as well. So I'm going to invite you right now, come to the front, any of those three areas, fear of the Lord, intimacy with the Lord, and saying yes to Jesus. Just make your way out from your chairs, come to the front. The power of God is going to manifest. People are going to be touched by the Lord. There's going to be a turning of hearts. The Lord's going to respond to you. The Lord will respond to you with His presence. He will respond to you. The fear of the Lord. Obedience unto the Lord. If you struggle with obedience, the fear of the Lord will help you. If you know the Lord asks you to do things and then you wrestle with Him, you're unable to do it, you bow to fear, then the fear of the Lord will really help you. And so I want to encourage you to come to the altar and receive ministry and prayer. You're struggling with sin. If you're struggling with sin here, I'm telling you the fear of the Lord will help you, set you free from sin. A healthy fear, Spirit of God. What I'm going to pray, what we're going to do is invite some of our leaders to join with me in prayer. So thank you, Anne and Elise as well. Maybe if you could pray, and Angela, well, do your business with the Lord as the Lord leads. Liz, Spirit of God. Just join with me in a prayer, inviting the Lord into our lives. Just everyone out loud say, Jesus, I invite you in as the Lord. I desire intimacy and the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray. What we're going to do is, those of you that aren't receiving ministry, you are free. You're done. We're done. Have tea, have coffee, invite someone to your house, love on someone. Those of you receiving ministry, we're going to pray for you. The power of God's going to come. People's lives are going to be touched powerfully. So church is officially done.